اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن اشكر لله ومن يشكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه ومن كفر فإن الله غني حميد. وإذ قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير. وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إليه ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. يا بني إنها إن تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير. يا بني إنها إن تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير يا بني إنها إن تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها إن الله لطيف خبير يا بني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانه عن المنكر واصبر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور ولا تصعر خدك دك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور واقصد في مشيك واغضض من صوتك إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all His blessings, the greatest of which is the blessing of guidance that has come to us through the Holy Prophet and his household, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. And the greatest part of what they have delivered to us, in fact, the central part, everything else they have delivered is revolving around that, being the Qur'an. It's God's word. Obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to the Qur'an, as He is the one who guides us through whatever means He wishes. But He has deemed it important for us to recognize that the guidance of the Qur'an has come to us through the Prophet and preserved after him, preached after him, guided towards after him, by his household, Fatima al-Zahra, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hasanain, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, and the Imams from the progeny of Imam al-Husayn, from the children and grandson, the son and the grandchildren of Imam al-Husayn. In terms of us finding the guidance that God has presented to us through the Ahlul Bayt in the form of the Qur'an, and then the words of the Ahlul Bayt, starting with the Prophet, then Fatima al-Zahra and Amir al-Mu'mineen, then Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Husayn, and then the rest of the Imams, in going to learn from that, the foundation, the untouched portion being the Qur'an, that whole concept that was just mentioned in a nutshell, that we have repeatedly mentioned, hadith needs to be checked with the Qur'an. That's one idea in terms of us finding what has been given to us by the Ahlul Bayt, the process of identifying what the Ahlul Bayt have taught and what they have not taught, what the Prophet taught, what he did not teach, what Fatima al-Zahra taught, what she did not teach, what Amir al-Mu'mineen taught, what he did not teach, the rest of the Imams, that process of how we determine what has been taught, what is their word, what isn't, from what has been attributed to them, that is one idea. It should not be understood to mean that the Qur'an is something other than what we have received through the Ahlul Bayt, meaning the Prophet, and then preserved by the Imams after the Prophet, in terms of, in ways, the structure, in ways, the meaning and interpretation and application. It doesn't mean that the Qur'an came from another source. Allah gave us the Qur'an the same way He gave us the other teachings that the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt have given us. All of that, in huwa illa wahyun yuha, whatever the Prophet said is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't make anything, add anything, say anything, do anything that was out of line. What he taught was one thing, God forbid, and then what he did was different, even if it wasn't haram, it was just different. This is an aspect of the Prophet that doesn't have to do with him being a messenger of God. That's not the case. And whatever he did was guidance from Allah. Whatever he said was guidance from Allah. Whatever Fatima al-Zahra did and said was guidance from Allah. Whatever Amir al-Mu'mineen did and said is guidance from Allah. Every one of the Imams, similar, the 12 Imams, the 14 Ma'sumeen, whatever they said and did is guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not from them. The Quran is also guidance from Allah. It's not from anyone else. It's called the Word of God, and it is. There's reasons why that has been set aside and mentioned as such, as the Word of God, and that those words will not be changed, and so on and so forth. All of that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us, has given to us, has delivered to us through the means of the Prophet and his household, the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. How would we have had access to the Quran? Would Jibreel be able to come down, descend to any of us? Did anyone else hear Jibreel give them the Qur'an to give to the masses? The Prophet is the one who delivered this to us. We owe the Prophet shukr. These were verses of the Qur'an that we read from Surah Luqman. It's interesting. We need to provide references from the Qur'an to strengthen, clarify, of course, if there's anything that we say we believe in or we say or do that does not conform with the Qur'an, we should throw it up against the wall and say we don't want it. But if there's something that we do say, and it is from the Qur'an and Hadith, or rather the sayings of the Ahlul Bayt, because Hadith is inclusive of whatever has been attributed to them. If something we believe in is from the Qur'an, is from the sayings of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, but then Shaytan and his followers, Shayateen of ins and jinn, the devils from jinn and from humans, they want us to disbelieve in that, to reject it, we've got to be careful with that. We have to strengthen what is actually stemming from the Qur'an. By reading the Qur'an, if we find a truth in it, we need to remind each other. And if it's something we already believed in, we need to provide further explanation or provide further references, other references. Look at all the verses and ahadith that have been identified to be from the Ahlul Bayt. All of them need to be collected. We need to look at all of them. It provides us understanding and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Luqman, we read from verse 12, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. We gave Luqman hikmah, wisdom, أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. I don't want to discuss this right now for different reasons. Do the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be thankful. Rough translation right now, very rough. So it mentions the idea of being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then saying that مَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever is thankful towards Allah, it's for their own benefit. They're not helping God. They're not adding anything to God. They're not... It's for themselves. The only benefit that there is for shukr is for themselves. And then it starts to quote Luqman, the verses do. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانَ لِبْنِهِ. Luqman said, remember the time that Luqman said to his son, وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ, while he was advising him, يَا بُنَيْ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Oh, my dear son, do not hold associates, partners with God. لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Don't be a believer in shirk and polytheism. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. That's a quote from Luqman. Which of course, when God says, we gave Luqman wisdom, and remember when Luqman addressed his son and said these words, that means approval. God is saying, we gave him this wisdom. So these words are approved of. Although, of course, all of what is mentioned there that is telling us what Luqman told his son are things that we actually find in other verses of the Quran as well. But there's a reason why I'm emphasizing this. Then God changes that a little bit, and the language at least is that he's not quoting Luqman. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. It's like in brackets, the story is being told of Luqman addressing his son and talking to him. After their first point, which is not to be a polytheist, not to believe in multiple gods, not to hold any partner with God. Don't partner anyone with God and say that this person is also has some level of lordship by God in any way. No, no form of shirk. That was what Luqman said, and the Quran quotes that. Then, in brackets, in a sense, punctuation that we notify the reader that this is not, it's in between a story, but it's not exactly part of that. Why God speaks in that way, it's a whole different story. Why are the verses like that? It's a whole different story. The point is here, this is not quoting Luqman. It's not a verse. All of it's from God. Sometimes God quotes a person, and sometimes God doesn't quote a person. This is not part of the quote. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. We advised the human being, بِوَالِدَيْهِ, to his parents, or in regards to his parents. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ. His mother, the human being's mother, a person's mother, bears him, wahnan ala wahn, difficulty after difficulty. Again, rough translation. That's what I recall the meaning of wahn. That may not be very accurate. What I recall is that. The point we're trying to make is not regarding this. Go read the translation. From what I can recollect of my memory of the meaning of the words, is difficulty after difficulty, wa fisaluhu. And so haml, the pregnancy period that the mother carries the child in her womb, and then afterwards fisaluhu fi amain, afterwards the child is dependent on the mother in her nursing him up to 2 years. All that period, all those difficulties. So it doesn't mention the father here. That's for another time. It's interesting. We advise the human being to the parents, and then the one that's mentioned is حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. The mother is mentioned. What was, so this is, we advise towards parents, and then the mother is mentioned what she went through for every person that is alive, that is born. Anishkur li, what's the advice? Anishkur li, be thankful towards me. Wali walidayk, and be thankful towards your parents. Now, I don't want to focus about parents, that meaning of parents right now, because there's other things that are there that the whole package needs to be discussed. We've discussed it before, and we have all heard this idea. The only point I will say in regards to that is that, as you see here, it doesn't say be obedient. It says ishkur li wali walidayk. It puts shukr of Allah first, and then shukr, and being thankful towards the parents. And then that whole thing is connected to tawheed, to Allah, even what the parents do and what the parents go through. It's connected to Him. إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ, what you are becoming is towards Allah. You are becoming towards Allah. You're moving towards Allah. Everyone is, everything is. إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ, towards me is what everything becomes. Everybody, everything is moving towards Him. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ, another verse that says the same, presents the same idea with different wording. It doesn't say obedience, it says be thankful. Being thankful is recognizing their effort in terms of the human being. It's recognizing their effort and appreciating it. That's what shukr means. In the context of the parents, appreciating the hardship they went through to raise us, to give birth, the mother is mentioned here first. That is a difficulty, a hardship that fathers just don't even understand, as much as we observe the process, perhaps to a degree. We don't feel it. We don't go through it. It's mothers that go through it. That's something that mothers need to be appreciated for. You need to recognize that, appreciate. She went through all that hardship to give birth to me, for me to be born, for me to exist. Now, I need to be appreciating that. Appreciating that means that if not just for the, that's where it started. And those are things that none of us can give back to our mother. We cannot go through such pain to serve our mothers. What we can do, however, is appreciating that effort. And as we said, it doesn't stop there. That's where it starts. They take care of us up to an older age, at least for the average person through their teen years. They take care of us. Appreciate that. You take care of your parents. This doesn't mean obedience. It's never mentioned that we advise the human being to obey the parents. It's never mentioned. Appreciate they did that for you. You look for when, at whatever point, something that can help them, assist them, if you can, if you're capable of, with the conditions you have, with the obligations you have, if you can provide that service. Especially if they're now in need of you. That's where we have a lot of emphasis. There are times where the parents are now in need of the child and their support and their assistance and their love and their care. And then the child doesn't want to provide that care. The parents put up with all the whining, all the crying, that they didn't even know what the cause is. Now that parent is older in their age and every little thing bothers them in ways, as the Quran says, similar to a child. And I can't put up with the complaining or the special needs that my father or mother, especially the mother, has. That's where the Quran says that's not right. If the two of them get older with you and you are capable of taking care of them, and just get upset because they have more needs, and you You get frustrated with that. Said, no, لَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. It's like, أُفْ is when you're frustrated. Like, oh, he wants this. Can you turn this down? It's too hot. It's this. They may complain. They may get edgy. They may shout. Well, when you were a baby, you did all of that. They took care of you. Appreciate that. Don't say oof. It doesn't mean don't say anything that they dislike. Sometimes you got to say something. The Quran says, do amrul ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. We have right here. Amrul ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. Anyone who hears amrul ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, nobody likes to be criticized. Amrul ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar is criticism. If you see your parents doing something that's wrong, you have a job. Don't approve of it. They want approval from you. You can't give approval. They're not going to like it. Does that mean just, oh, I can't do that. I have to listen to my, I got to do. No, that's not what it says. It's not what the Quran says. People do that culturally, whatever, that's their thing. The Quran, don't attribute that to Islam. Islam does not say obey. And Islam does not say that taking care of them and not being upset with their demands and what they're asking of you in their old age because of their conditions to be patient with that and don't express frustration, that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to say anything that they don't like. These are all misunderstandings. Anyway, so these are a couple of points I mentioned just to share and explain that it's a whole package. When we want to talk about parents, it's wrong to discuss only one aspect of the responsibility of a person towards their parents or the role of parents and so on and so forth. It's a whole package. The whole thing needs to be discussed so that we do exactly what God says. Again, if we're respecting parents, it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Are there times that God says, don't respect parents? Yes, right here it says, after saying we advised man to in regards to his parents and mentioning the point that we mentioned about the mother and then be thankful towards your parents. It says, وَإِن جَهَدَكَ. However, if they are pushing you, عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. They are pushing you to do shirk, different various forms of shirk. One form of shirk is them pushing you to do something that God has said don't do, or them pushing you away from something that God has said is your obligation. That's shirk. So if that happens, it says, لَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Don't listen to them. As much as they push you, they press your buttons, emotional blackmail. Sometimes, unfortunately, parents shouldn't do that, but sometimes they do. جَهَدَكْ, that's pushing you to do that. فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Don't listen. So that's a whole package that needs to be discussed. We were discussing, if you remember, this is not sidetracking. This is all explaining this verse about anishkur li waliwalidayk, to get back to the point we started with, which is our main point here tonight, inshallah. We said that everything that God has blessed us with in terms of guidance, which is the greatest blessing He has given us, He has given us through Muhammad and Al Muhammad, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim ajma'in. Right, and He has said, we're using this, there's, as we said, this is one of the references. God says, "Anishkur li wali walidayk." Shukr, be thankful, appreciate me and your parents. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi said to his nation, "Ana wa Ali." أَبَوَا هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. I and Ali are the parents of this ummah, are the fathers of this ummah. That expresses that relationship. If you look at it, life as we know it, true life, the life of iman, the life of prosperity, enjoying all aspects of human life and not limiting it to the lower levels and the lower desires of the human nature, enjoying full prosperity in the full human sense, not a partial sense, especially not the lower portion. That life God gives us when a person, a child is born, it says, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنٍ, 2 years plus the time that the child spent in the womb. Well, who gave life and who created that child? Was it the mother? Was it the father? No, Allah. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُم مِّن ذَكَرٍ وَأُنثَى. God created. But God says, I created through your parents. Now, especially in the more difficult part of the process of creating you, the part that involves a human being, and the difficulty is on the human being, not on Allah. The human being that goes through that process and is part of that process, and God made her the main part of that process in many ways, is your mother. But God made her that. He says, be thankful. This life that we have, if we have it, and inshallah, to a certain degree we do, but we need to work on that. What we have received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who did He give it to us through? The Holy Prophet and his daughter and brother and son-in-law, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren onwards, the 14 Ma'sumeen. The pain of delivering this life to us was much more than what a mother goes through to deliver a living child, to deliver us with life, material life, physical life in this world. Mother, it's a 2 years and some months in the womb. Difficult, very painful. What the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi went through. Amir al-Mu'mineen and Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayhima went through. Imam al-Mujtaba went through. Imam al-Husayn went through. Ali ibn al-Husayn, Imam Zain al-Abidin, Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Sadiq, Imam al-Kadhim, Imam al-Ridha, Imam al-Jawad, Imam al-Hadi. 14 ma'sumeen, over 13 of them over the course of 360, 70 years. And then the last of those imams is still going through to present this to all of mankind and to deliver this life. The pain that they have and are going through is more than what a mother goes through. And as we said, that hadith says, أنا وعلي أبوا هذه الأمة. The fathers of this ummah are me and Ali. The Quran says, أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. It's a command. The other verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَ. It's considered an ajr, a reward for him presenting the message to for the people to be good and loving towards those who are close to him. Al-Mawaddata fil Qurba. Who are the Qurba of the Prophet? The ones who are close to him, the ones who are really close to him, not just physically. They are the Ahlul Bayt. That's the other way that mentions it. This verse, Anishkur li wa li walidayk. We are supposed to appreciate the human beings that are involved in us receiving a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are willingly part of that and wanting to deliver that. Those people need to be, God says, appreciate that. Anishkur li walidayk. The people that have been involved in the greatest blessing that has been given to us, all of us and any of us, no matter where we are, what ethnic background, what nationality, what locality, what time, what era, the greatest guidance, the greatest blessing is the blessing of guidance. And who was involved with that? The Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. We're supposed to do shukr of that. Shukr. And yishkur li wali walidayk. What is the shukr? What's the shukr of and being thankful and appreciative towards the Prophet and his household? How is that? Well, that one verse mentions it in the form of al-mawaddata fil qurba. Those who are close to him, which are his daughter, son-in-law, grandchildren, those are the ones who, during his lifetime, his physical lifetime, he saw them, the rest of them or the rest of the imams. They are the qurba that the Quran is referring to. Because as we said, it's not physical closeness. The closest people to the Prophet are the Ahlul Bayt. Nobody is even close to the Ahlul Bayt in terms of their closeness to the Holy Prophet. They are so close that in hadith it says, they are kulluhum nurun wahid. The Quran, anfusana wa anfusakum, in regards to Ali ibn Abi Talib and the Prophet, Ali ibn Abi Talib being the nafs of the Prophet, the self, ourselves. Who is ourselves with the Prophet? It's Ali ibn Abi Talib, salamullah alayhi. What is appreciation? Perhaps if we were to think about this on our own, and not ask God, how do you want us to appreciate them? And of course, if we appreciate them as these verses mentioned, and the verses regarding that reward for the prophethood of the Prophet, the ajr that was mentioned, which is al-mawaddata fil qurba, that ajr, which is al-mawadda, showing love towards the Ahlul Bayt, وَمَا سَأَلْتُكُمْ مِنْ أَجْرٍ فَهُوَ لَكُمْ. It's for you. The benefit of that goes to you. That appreciation will help us. But what is that appreciation? How do we appreciate? If we were to think of that on our own and try to understand what our role is or what we need to do to appreciate the work of the Ahlul Bayt, perhaps we wouldn't be able to come to this, and many people haven't. Okay. What is this? What is it that we wouldn't come to? Obedience. Obedience. Perhaps we wouldn't. And I'll explain how, if we think we would come to that through analyzing, and we have to explain then how it is that we say when it comes to the physical parents, the biological parents, it doesn't mean obedience. When it comes to the Ahlul Bayt, that are not even our biological parents, how is it that shukr in regards to them means obedience? We'll have to explain all of that. I'm not sure if we can in this session, but keep those as questions. We'll try to, as much as time allows us. But God has said, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should we do? You said, mawadda, show love. Okay, but what does showing love mean? Al-mawaddata fil qurba. Does that mean just have a love towards them in terms of my heart feeling towards them? One reason to know that that's not correct is the word that is used is not mahabba. Al-mahabbata fil qurba. It's al-mawaddata fil qurba. Al-mawadda is showing that love. It's loving and behaving based on that love you have towards that person. Another verse of the Quran in a case where we're not supposed to show mawadda is the first verse in Surah Al-Mumtahana. It says, why do you show mawadda towards the enemies of yourselves and the enemies of God? Don't show mawadda. What was done there that was called mawadda? Out of care for the kuffar, that feeling of love, did they just feel for the kuffar? No. The Prophet was planning to attack Mecca and conquer Mecca. They felt for the kuffar. Did they keep it in their hearts? No. They sent against the teachings of the Prophet, against the order of the Prophet. They sent a person with a message to the kuffar, the Prophet is moving towards you. They express that love, not by telling them, oh, I love you. By doing what they felt that person wanted. And it was what they wanted. That was called mawadda. That's what mawadda is. Mawadda is a love that is expressed not by words of I love you or poetry, saying you're so great and praising. None of that is mawadda. Mawadda is a relationship with the person that you decide to do more than obey commands. A person who obeys the commands of his commander doesn't necessarily love their commander. They may even hate their guts, but they're in a condition if they want to survive, if they want to get their salary, if whatever their reason is for being in that position where they have a commander and they are the commanded, they may not like the commander. Following orders is not mawadda. There are people who follow orders, they don't even like the person. And even if you simply follow orders and you only do that and then you have liking towards a person, that's not mawadda. Mawadda is this attraction towards the person, being drawn towards the person, having this very strong pull towards the person in a way where if you realize they want something before they say it, you want to go do it. This is mawadda. With that example that we mentioned, that of course is not the height of it. That's an example in the case, in the wrong sense of the word mawadda, the case that the wrong mawadda, the type of mawadda that the person shouldn't have. Or in other words, mawadda towards people, towards those that you shouldn't have. And that example, you start to develop an understanding towards the meaning of the word mawadda. Mawadda is a relationship that you gravitate towards a person in a way you love this person so much that it's not just, oh, I like this person. I love him to a degree that I want to know everything he has said. I want to try to do everything he has said. I want to try to figure out what he wants and I do before he even tells me. It's much more than following orders. Following orders and obeying is not explaining the extent of mawadda. We're told to appreciate. Appreciate. And the appreciation, God tells us, even if we weren't able to come up with this ourselves. Of course, this is very reasonable. This is directly related towards the relationship or to the relationship that the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, have with us as intermediaries and being the means through which God has provided that guidance. The type of blessing that God has given us through them necessitates this form of appreciation of the means and that appreciation of the means, of the intermediaries, is going to be appreciation of the gift, the guidance that has been given. And that appreciation is appreciating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt is the wilayah to Allah. And in order to have wilayah to Allah, you need to have wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt. And if you don't have wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt, if you reject the wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt, you can't have wilayah of Allah. You will never have wilayah of Allah. If anyone rejects, someone is unaware they love Allah, they hear about the Ahlul Bayt, they like them, they love them, they haven't formed that wilayah because of their a person's lack of knowledge. And they're not rejecting that means then because I guess they haven't heard whatever. They have some level of wilayah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, anyone who loves the Prophet and follows him has that level of wilayah. They haven't understood that relationship with the rest of the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. There's a shortcoming there, but towards the main figure, which is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, there is mawaddah. And because of that, that wilayah, the part of that is there, the other part is there, is not there because of lack of knowledge, and therefore there is wilayah to Allah. Muslimin have wilayah to Allah. The notion that Muslims who are not followers of the Ahlul Bayt do not have wilayah to Allah because it doesn't go through the Ahlul Bayt. The first of the Ahlul Bayt is the Holy Prophet. It's an incomplete wilayah. They have the wilayah of the Prophet. Those who are Muslimin and they're not rejecting the wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt, they just haven't understood it, they haven't seen it, they have been told things that are not accurate and so on and so forth. That's why that part of the wilayah is lacking. They have wilayah to Allah and they have wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt, but it's a wilayah of the first person at the level that they need to, and the rest of the Ahlul Bayt, they haven't been informed. Anyhow, back to our point. That was to clarify, so there's no misunderstandings in regards to what we're saying when we say, if anyone does not have the wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt, they cannot have wilayah to Allah. This is not excluding Muslimin. Of course, those who have more wilayah, in terms of including all those who have wilayah to Allah, the Prophet and his household, then their wilayah is stronger. And those whose wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt is stronger, their mawadda of the Ahlul Bayt is stronger. The depth of their mawadda. There's a lot of people who say we have mawadda and love and we follow the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. We believe that they're muftarad al-ta'a. We should not only obey them, we should do beyond that, which is the meaning of mawadda. They say that. A lot of us say that. Perhaps I say it. There's claims. Those who have more of that truly in them, in themselves, both of them may identify as Shia, but one has truly more mawadda compared to the other, and their wilayah of Allah is stronger. The last point in this regard, I can't go through explaining how we would understand, and there's no reason for me to go through that. God has already told us what is in regards to these human beings that are intermediaries for us to receive this great blessing. We should appreciate them. That's what the verse says. How should we appreciate them? The verse says, Al-Mawaddata fil Qurb. What does mawadda means? It's beyond obedience. It's obedience with love plus trying to identify what they want, if they even have the slightest desire towards something, which is, of course, showing us God's liking of something. We identify that and we act accordingly. That's mawadda. It's very, very profound. So I'm not going to explain how, if we analyze, we could perhaps come to it and some have said that. The verses have made it clear. The last point we want to make in this regard is that the way to, the path to appreciating the people through which God has given us the blessing that He has, and that's God's command for us to appreciate them. And in this case, the focus is appreciating the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. The path to that is us identifying what they have done in the process of delivering that great blessing to us. And that can clearly be seen in this verse when God says we advise mankind towards his parents. We advise man towards his parents. He said, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. A reminder. Why do you need to appreciate your mother went through this for you to be born? This is how you can move towards appreciating and feeling that appreciation, feeling that you are thankful towards the person, in this case, the mother. That's the process. That's how we're able. Otherwise, so let's appreciate this person. Well, if I don't know what they went through to get this to me, what they have delivered to me, what they went through to deliver that to me, if I don't know any of that, then I'm not really going to appreciate that. If somebody just hands me a piece of metal and I don't know the value of it, like this person went through a heck of a time to get this to you, just look at it like, oh, thank you, throw it away. You're not really appreciating because you don't know the value of what's been given to you. That's one thing, the value of what's been given. That's not our focus right now. But it is part of it. You have to first identify. We, to a certain degree, have an understanding. Of course, we should increase our understanding of how valuable what has been given to us, this Islam, this Quran, these words of the Ahlul Bayt and the Jawami' al-Hadith, the compilations of Hadith. The value of them, we need to understand that more by reading them and seeing how valuable that information is and that guidance is. But that's not going to be it. If it's great, you'll appreciate what they've given you, but appreciating them, if we realize what they went through, what difficulties they went through, that the pain of labor compared to that is inappropriate, meaning there's no comparison. Labor is low compared to that pain that they went through. Understanding that pain, the difficulties they went through, is going to be the path through which we are able to have that genuine appreciation for their work as intermediaries through which God has blessed us with what He has. This understanding that was just expressed is the foundation of why we commemorate the Ahlul Bayt's dates of martyrdom. And we discuss what they did. And we need to do more of that. Not necessarily to wear black and to beat our chests, but we need to do more of talking about what the Ahlul Bayt went through. And even in that regard, in terms of talking about the difficult times that they had, and remembering that sometimes the same portion of it, particularly according to what we have been taught, the part that has to do with Karbala, with Imam al-Hussein, and repeating what happened there to him, the pains he went through, the pains he went through directly, the pains he went through by watching his children, his companions, his brothers be slaughtered before his eyes, repeating that and crying is part of a fundamental part of developing a genuine feeling and thinking of appreciation for what these intermediaries have done, the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt have done. We need to discuss that. It's Quranic for us to have these, whether it's during the time and on the date of their shahada and martyrdom, or outside of that. And we've been told, although all of the pains are important for us to look at, read and understand what the Prophet went through. Even in regards to Imam al-Hussein, the Prophet went through the pain of losing Hussein in the way he did in Karbala. The Prophet saw that during his lifetime. He cried during the birth of Hussein when they brought the newborn Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi to the presence of the Prophet. The Prophet cried. He wasn't just told, described. He saw it. Sallallahu alayki ya Rasulallah. These are part of the pains of what the Prophet had to go through in order to deliver this the way he had to. We have got to study that. We have got to talk about it. We have got to remind ourselves and each other and our communities of that. This is why it is wajib, one of the fundamental reasons why it is wajib to uphold Karbala and Imam al-Hussein and Ashura and the Aza of Sayyid al-Shuhada. One of the fundamental reasons for that is that it's God's command to appreciate them. And in order to appreciate them and their work, we have got to understand what they went through. This is one of, not the only, one of the reasons why it is an obligation to commemorate Muharram. I know for some it may seem a few months early, but we need to build a foundation here. Last year, we mentioned this a little closer to Muharram, that look, it is part of our wajibat to set up majalis for Imam al-Hussein, salamullah alayhi, salamullah alayhi wa ruhi lahu al-fida. It is part of our wajib deeds. We have got to do this. It's not a matter of a recommendation that we say, okay, jama'ah prayers are recommended, so during COVID, we don't do that. It's wajib. It's wajib. This year, alhamdulillah, by the blessing from Allah, through the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, the conditions are getting better. Appreciating that blessing that God has given us to be able to be less restricted in terms of our gatherings, in order to appreciate that blessing, this Muharram, we have got to do better. We have got to do more. We have got to have a larger gathering. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He assists us in doing so. This is our intention. Brothers, sisters, let's get ready. Let's start thinking and planning. Muharram this year, the first Ashra, which is the main portion of Muharram, the most important part of it, and the day of Ashura being the climax of that, we ask Allah, by the right of Sayyid al-Shuhada himself, by the right of his mother, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, by the right of the Prophet, by the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen, by the right of Imam al-Mujtaba, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to hold the memory of the efforts and the pains of Sayyid al-Shuhada in order for us to be able to complete this year, this part of our task to appreciate the work that the Ahlul Bayt, in terms of pains, Imam al-Hussein above all, went through, so that we can fulfill this taklif, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. Forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. Ya Allah, relieve all of us of this pandemic and relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa alihi rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.